3:34, this is the other side of midnight. You know what's fascinating? How we view what happened yesterday. And this has been something that I've been fascinated by for many, many years. Because I would listen growing up to adults, family members, friends of family members, talk about their childhood, and it sounded terrible. There's no air conditioning. They're walking everywhere. It sounds living in squalid conditions, you know, parents that were either neglectful or abusive. And yet they talk about the time of their youth as if it was just the greatest time ever. And then I realized that as I've gotten older, I talk about times of my life which were not so great as if they're the greatest thing ever. For instance, when I was, you know, a younger guy, I'd go out from time to time. I still go to bars, but I would go out from time to time to these really loud bars or these nightclubs, right? And these nightclubs were just horrible. They're all packed to the gills. They're all playing music, which is just horrible, which they're all, you can't even move. The music is so freaking loud. And you can't have a conversation. Somebody's standing next to you, and you have to shout, "Hi, have you been here before?" So you have to shout. There are all these pretty girls that view you as just an opportunity to buy drinks for them. None of them ever give you their numbers. And it's really just not a fun time at all. And yet I've found when I talk about my time going to these places, both my compatriots that I would run into from those days, we all talk about it as if it's the greatest time ever. And I've so wondered, what is it about yesterday? What is it about nostalgia that makes us view it better than it actually was? And one of the better explanations that I've heard of that until this weekend occurred in the movie Midnight in Paris. It's a great movie. It's a Woody Allen movie. It won an Oscar, might have won multiple Oscars. Owen Wilson's in it. And one of the characters in that picture is explaining how nostalgia works.
You know, nostalgia is denial. Denial of the painful present.
Oh, well, Gil is a complete romantic. I mean, he would be more than happy living in a complete state of perpetual denial.
Really? And the name for this fallacy is called golden age thinking.
Ah, touche.
Yeah, the erroneous notion that a different time period is better than the one one's living in. You know, it's a flaw in the romantic imagination of those people who find it difficult to cope with the present.
Mm-hmm. So I don't want to give away too much of the film, but it's so relevant to the portion of the conversation we're about to have, because Owen Wilson's character goes back in time to the 1920s. He meets a nice girl. He's ready to leave his girlfriend or his fiance for, and they're having a great time. And then they end up going back in time to the 1890s. And then listen to what happens. Listen to their conversation. Listen to what he says and listen to what she says. Now, remember, he's from the 21st century, and he's just been transported 90 years in the past, and then been transported again 30 years in the past.
What are you talking about?
We should stay here. It's the start of La Belle Époque. It's the greatest, most beautiful era Paris has ever known.
Yeah, but what about the 20s and the Charleston and the Fitzgeralds and the Hemingways? I mean, I love those guys.
But it's the present. Stole.
Doll? It's not my present. I'm from 2010.
What do you mean?
I dropped in on you the same way we're dropping in on the 1890s.
You did?
I was trying to escape my present the same way you're trying to escape yours to a golden age.
Surely you don't think the 20s are a golden age.
Yeah, to me they are.
But I'm from the 20s and I'm telling you the golden age is La Belle Époque.
I mean, and look at these guys. I mean, to them, their golden age was the Renaissance.
So I was so interested this weekend when I read this brilliant essay in the Wall Street Journal, headline, Why We Can't Stop Longing for the Good Old Days. And it's written by a rather brilliant man named Johan Norberg, who is a historian of ideas. He's a senior fellow at the Cato Institute, and he's the author of the new book, Open, The Story of Human Progress. Mr. Norberg, thank you for joining me on the radio this morning.
Thank you for inviting me.
So why do we do this? Why, as humans, do we view what happened previously as better than the days or the era in which we're living?
Yeah, it is fascinating, and it's a recurring phenomena. Both you and Woody Allen, I think, covered what it's all about, how it's a kind of selective forgetfulness of what the past was really like. And you can see that in all of us. I mean, now we're on Christmas holidays, and when you ask school children about, so how was the school break? Then you ask them to list good and bad things from the break, and they're about of equal size. But then when you repeat the exercise a couple of months later, the good stuff begins to push the bad stuff away. And then when you repeat the same thing at the end of the 6 month period, the good memories have pushed the others away completely almost. So now they only imagine and remember a kind of idealized version of what a Christmas break or a summer break and a holiday is supposed to be. And that's a bit of a comfort to us parents after a holiday like this. Eventually, all these bad stuff that we're going through will be remembered through this hazy nostalgia. And partly, I think it's a way to cope. It's a way to help us to forget. It's nature's way of helping us to connect and anchor our identity in a good history, in a nice past.
Is this nostalgia, this longing for days gone by, something that's unique to Americans or the French or the Swedish, or does this cross international lines and ethnicities?
Oh, it's definitely international. There are some exceptions when countries make very rapid progress and, you know, people, families are going from subsistence farming and starvation to a decent, comfortable lifestyle with good education for their kids in a generation. Then it's more difficult to remember good old days in the past because there's someone there who really have first time hand experience just a couple of years back. But overall, this crosses cultures and countries. Everybody seems to remember even very nasty, bad experiences as good. And even if they went through the plague and the war, astonishingly, people seem to remember the sense of community, how they got through this together in those bad periods.
Wow. If people are just tuning in, we're talking with Johan Norberg. He has an essay in the Wall Street Journal this weekend titled Why We Can't Stop Longing for the Good Old Days, and he explores this from a neurological and a nostalgic perspective. What do the psychologists that you spoke to for this story say is the reason why humans tend to romanticize the past?
Well, some point to an evolutionary value, that it's nostalgia is not just natural, but it's also useful. Because we are often going through rapid transitions and changes, and some are bad. We're going through this pandemic right now, for example. Then if we're anchoring our identity in the past, it helps us to give us a sense of stability and predictability as we're going through these bad periods. And it's interesting to see that nostalgia is especially common when we experience rapid personal transitions. For example, when we're going through puberty or retirement, or we're moving to a new job or a new country. That's the periods when we begin to look at the photo albums and remembering our past and because it gives us this sense that we at least know who we are when we're uncertain about the present.
Now, this idea of longing for the past and thinking that days gone by were better Is that something that's relatively new, maybe a 20th or 21st century phenomenon, or has that been with people for longer than that?
Well, actually, when you talk to historians, you kind of go through this phase. It's like the old joke, when were the good old days? Well, it was back in my 20s, and that it's been the same way for every generation. When you ask historians, so what about the 50s? Lots of Americans say that the 1950s were the best period. What did people in the 1950s think of the 1950s? Well, they thought, like, you know, it's like a Woody Allen movie, that now times are troubled. I wish we could go back around 30 years into the past and find something better. And you can keep on moving backwards in history like that. And in fact, we see the first signs of expressions of nostalgia a short period after mankind invented the written language 5,000 years ago in ancient Mesopotamia.
5,000 years ago.
Then one of the first things that humans write is, oh, now it's difficult. Now children don't respect their elders and politicians are corrupt. I wish we could go back to the good old days.
So even the Mesopotamians 5,000 years ago were longing to go back to the way things were. That's pretty fascinating. So I guess nobody ever sits and thinks, oh, yeah, the era that I'm living in now, that's the golden age. Now things are really, really going well. You also write in this piece that was excerpted in the journal is that because we survived past dangers, you alluded to plagues or wars, and we didn't destroy the planet with this or that, that maybe we view those times as less perilous than today and tomorrow because we may not survive today and tomorrow. Is that right?
Yes, exactly. And this is inescapable. We know that we solved many difficult problems that almost killed us because otherwise we wouldn't be here. So in retrospect, they don't seem so difficult. You know, the Cold War, it was a period when we were threatened with instant nuclear annihilation. And yet now we remember it as some sense almost of stability in international relations because we knew who the good guys and the bad guys were. We hear the same complaints about modern technology. For example, it will ruin the kids. We've always heard that. In the 1920s, it was the radio, the gramophone, later on the television set, comic books. Now it's the smartphone. Well, we know now that the radio and the comic books didn't really ruin the kids, but we don't know about the smartphones. So we always live in a moment of time when present problems seem very scary and threatening and we don't know how to solve them because we haven't solved them yet and we haven't seen the end result yet. But we know that we did this in the past. The only thing is that every generation has faced the same. The radio seemed equally strange originally.
You know, it's so funny. And if you listen to the complaints from generations of parents from the 1950s and listening to them complain about listening to Elvis Presley and rock and roll artists of that era and compare that to the same things that parents say to their children these days about listening to hip hop music. I mean, the rhetoric and the arguments sound almost identical. So it's pretty fascinating. Is there anything that we can do, Mr. Norberg, now that we're aware of this, now that we know that our brains are sort of hardwired to think things that happened yesterday are better than the things that are happening now? Is there anything that we can do to change that thinking? And is it even something that we want to change?
Well, it is pre-wired, so it'll always be there. But there are other things that are pre-wired in us. You know, we want all the fat and sugar we can lay our hands on because our evolutionary evolved brains think that, you know, pizza and Coca-Cola is in bloom right and only now, and we need it instantly. But we can learn about diet, its effect on us. We can learn about exercise and things like that. And I think it's the same thing with nostalgia. We can talk to our parents and grandparents about what life was really like, and then you suddenly realize that indoor plumbing perhaps is not a bad idea. At the same time, I don't think we should get rid of nostalgia entirely. It's bad if it makes us constantly suspicious about the present and potential progress in the future, innovations and opportunities. But it's not that bad if it just helps us to reconnect with the past and with our own past. And it's a way of building step by step our own identity and a sense of self. And that's not all bad.
Well, then finally, let me end with this. And we're talking with Johan Norberg. I want to encourage you to check out his book, Open, The Story of Human Progress. And he's also a senior fellow at the Cato Institute. Let me close with a question that is entirely self-serving. And is there any way that I can use the human fondness for nostalgia and yesteryear to my advantage to program a radio show that that tickles the very same parts of the human brain that nostalgia does and get more radio listeners in the process?
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, I definitely think there is. You started with a nice song here that connected with our sense of nostalgia and talked about Woody Allen and your own experiences of nightclubs. Those common references and puts us all in a frame of mind where we share some space, and then we can move on from there and talk about new stuff. And I think that's important to all of us, but especially on a show like this. So, well, I think you're already doing the right thing.
Well, that's encouraging. Maybe, you know, they're talking about putting cameras in here and having us do a video simulcast. Maybe I'll insist that this show be shot in black and white and silent. You know, in addition, just to be a real throwback. Johan Norberg, it is a terrific, terrific thrill to talk with you. Appreciate all your great work. And again, this terrific piece is wonderful. And I'm looking forward to reading your entire book.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. 1-800-848-WABC if you'd like to comment. That is Johan Norberg. He's with the Cato Institute, and he's the author of the new book, Open, The Story of Human Progress. This is The Other Side of Midnight. I'm Frank Morano. Straight ahead.